Welcome to The Urban Complex, a system of interrelated, emotion-charged ideas, feelings, memories, and impulses. This name takes the definition and lays out what a listener should expect. A podcast where ideas, feelings, and memories collide, leading towards meaningful change. I'm co-host Chris Richardson. Please enjoy the journey with The Urban Complex. Smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow.
All opinions by Chris Richardson, Dominic Papa, and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Arizona State University or the Arizona Commerce Authority. Any endorsement of or messages from sponsors are solely supporting the production of this podcast. There is no relationship further than podcast purposes with any sponsor unless separately created with another entity.
All right, Dom, here we are. This is our second quarter update. It seems amazing that it's been 3 months already. Time both flies and stands still at the same time. What's top of mind as we kind of recap the show?
Yeah, it's amazing that it's been two quarters. It seems like we blinked and we were just starting this yesterday. But I know that we love to talk about sports a lot when we kick off our shows, and just I can't help but reiterate, I know we're in Arizona, but what an amazing time for sports it is. I mean, not only are the Phoenix Suns in the finals up 2-0, looking really, really strong, fingers crossed, knocking on wood. So it's a great time. I live downtown. So, I mean, the atmosphere down here on game nights is incredible, but the European Championships are Sunday. Italy's in the final. I'm Italian, so they're my team. They're playing England, which all my soccer buddies are English. So it's going to be a good rivalry. And then we've got Wimbledon, Djokovic in the championship this Sunday. I mean, it's just another incredible time for sports. So it's fun right now, right?
Things I'm loving it. Although, you know, it's funny, you didn't even list baseball. I have the hardest time. It was my favorite sport as a kid. I just cannot get into the sport right now. But yeah, baseball's going on too.
Yep, exactly.
I think the Suns, you know, what's cool talking about them is just there's such a team atmosphere. And everyone plays a part. It's funny, bringing it back to the podcast, a lot of our guests, you know, it's not about a one-man show or one-woman show. They're always a team focus. They know their part. They bring people together. So, yeah, I think that's pretty wild. I mean, with the podcast, I mean, talk about it. When we met quarter one, we kind of threw it out there that we were talking to some potential sponsors. And how great is it? Here we are three months later. We actually have three sponsors. Wow. You did a great job. You know, we have Worldwide Technologies, WWT, David Stevens was even on the guest and just had some amazing things to say. And then we have two cracks in the payment sponsors as well. We have Greater Phoenix Economic Council. We had Chris on the show, MST Solutions, you know, Taru and Ken have been great partners too. So it's just going to be fun to see kind of what their viewership starts to bring and helps kind of advance what we're doing. And for those that are thinking about it, it's not like they're spending a ton of money with us. It really helps us keep the cost so we can kind of pursue this passion and make sure that we can bring you great content. So I think that's one big win.
Yeah, that's been great. I mean, I know last quarter, you know, we updated about, you know, some of the projects we're working on, and, you know, we know you recently had a change in position. So you want to kind of just give the audience kind of some updates on
that? Yeah, good point. We said in our intro, we wouldn't talk about ourselves much, but I think it is good to just kind of reflect. Yeah, I mean, it's been a whirlwind 2 weeks for me. We announced on the podcast that while I'm still employed by Arizona State University, I'm actually now the Chief Information Officer at the Arizona Department of Education. So I'm totally immersed in a whole new world, trying to bring the best services, best programs, and IT solutions for the 700 plus schools, K-12 schools around the state of Arizona. It's just interesting learning about how the law it works with these programs and with the federal funds and everything. So I'm learning a ton. I've got a great team, and there's a lot of fun partnerships. So it's just been a whirlwind for me. What's going on with you?
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm happy to have you over there. It's also been busy over here at the Arizona Commerce Authority, you know, trying to really stand up a smart state initiative and focus on really helping align the technology innovation strategies across all levels of government, from city to county to region to state. It's been a lot of fun. And of course, with the federal stimulus programs coming down, there's been a lot of action in prepping and planning. And so I think one of the main focuses of mine at this point is around the future of digital equity for the state of Arizona, right? We can't be a smart state if people don't have access to the digital skills or digital services necessary to participate in either remote schooling, speaking of K-12 education, or, you know, the remote, this new digital economy. And so we're really trying to understand how might we build a scalable, sustainable organizational infrastructure that enables us to drive this kind of permanent continuous innovation in digital equity. And so it's been really interesting trying to work with the various sectors, but from K, you know, education to industry, to the university, I mean, you name it, everyone's kind of involved. And I think going back to this idea of teamwork, that's the exciting part about digital equity. Everyone understands it's not any one of our problems, it's all of our problem. We need to solve this together. And so it's really starting to form a team is starting to form around it, which has been exciting. So
yeah, it really is. It encompasses a lot of the things that were already in motion, and new partners are starting to come into play. New politicians are starting to come into play with interest. I'm sure there's fits for Arizona Department of Education to contribute too. I know our head of policy and lobbying was on some work he did as well. So there's just interesting ties of how this all builds and working together is the right way. Hey, before we jump into kind of our recap of quarter two, a couple things. You know, we said that things to look forward to. That is, we said last time we were looking forward to having our first international guest. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, we've got probably multiple international guests when we do the next quarter. We've got some great guests getting lined up. We announced some news for the first time in our podcast. So hopefully people will break news as well. We even got invited to be the sponsor of Smart City Expo, the podcast sponsor. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about what we're planning for that.
Yeah, we're tremendously excited. If you listen to the podcast with Artie, she's incredible. Runs the Smart City Expo in Atlanta, which is the kind of almost a subsidiary or like a partner event with the Smart City Expo in Barcelona, which is the largest smart city conference in the world. And so the Atlanta is kind of the U.S. version of it. So we're tremendously excited to be going over there. I believe it's at the end of August or yeah.
I know it's the first week of September, 6th through the 8th.
That's right. First week of September. So we're excited to be going over there, taking the podcast finally on the road. We can finally do it now that we're opening up and really, you know, not only recording episodes at the Smart City Expo at the conference, but also doing other kind of, you know, live events, in-person engaging content. So, you know, we're really excited. It's almost a call to action here today to say, hey, join us in Atlanta. You know, we've been cooped up for over 16 plus months in our houses, working on smart city efforts. It's time that we get back in person. And so let's all go to Atlanta for the Smart City Expo and let's network, let's combine, let's collaborate. Let's find ways to have interesting stories be highlighted through the Urban Complex podcast. So if anyone is going, if you're not going, go. If you're going, please reach out to either Chris or myself and let's figure out ways we can highlight the work you're doing on the Urban Complex podcast.
Support for this episode of The Urban Complex comes from Worldwide Technology.
What if we could connect people to new possibilities, turn thinking into a way forward, solve problems before they become a problem, and share the future with everyone? We can. At WWT, we connect businesses to technology to make the impossible possible, to reach better decisions faster, to accelerate progress. Together, let's make a new world happen.
Well, yeah. So let's kind of transition into our quarterly recap. What I thought I'd do, I was kind of looking. This is crazy. It's our 28th episode right now. It looks like there's about three different chunks of four. So I'll just kind of run through who the guest was, and then we'll kind of riff on what we remember and kind of what we want to highlight for the show here. So kind of in late mid April and early May, we had Michael Guerin, Smart Docklands. City of Dublin. We have Charlie Isaacs, CTO Customer Connection at Salesforce. We had Mike Grigsby, the Sioux Falls Director of Innovation and Technology. And we had Mitchell Weiss, the author of We the Possibility and former Chief of Staff in the City of Boston. So pretty eclectic group. Anything you want to highlight in that group there?
Oh, man, what a group. All powerful stories. I mean, I think it's, again, maybe this idea of team is going to just be on the back of my mind now that we're at the beginning, but all of them, how well they did at building or focus on building teams in order to execute on their smart city mission. So Michael, what they're doing by not only focusing on smart Docklands, but bringing in a whole smart Dublin program behind it. I mean, that's the regional approach that we modeled a lot of what we're doing here with the Connective in Greater Phoenix around.
And remember how cool it was for me because, you know, ASU and our smart stadium program, we actually worked with Dublin City University and Croke Park. And Michael was actually part of that work. And you're right. Like they were building kind of nested circles of their influence there. And you could tell they had a lot of tie between industry and the politicians and the citizens. They did a lot of testing. They did a lot of user research. They even built groups that did that. So yeah, that's for sure. It was interesting to go from him to Charlie. Remember we called them the mad scientist, yeah. But you just tell there was someone with a passion for the tech itself. And, you know, he knew the Internet of Things inside and out. He talked a lot about how the connectivity is coming. And he tried to put his frame of how we might connect cities. I think he even referenced we need to follow back up with him. He was going to introduce us to some cities back east that they've done a lot of work in. How about Mike Grisby? It was interesting to see how he actually had communication as part of his scope, too. I know that you'd worked with him in the past. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, no, I just love the fact that, you know, he's coming into a new position in a new role to stand up this program and really drive it forward, and how important it was that communication and that engagement with the community in order to be successful, right? In ensuring that as he's developing, building out this new platform within the city of Sioux Falls, that he's actively engaging with the residents, and he knows how incredibly important it is to do so in order to be successful. And I also love the tie to the mayor, right? How close the mayor's office was involved in.
Yeah, that's where I was going to highlight. It was neat to see the mayor not only really embraced having a technologist and a communications expert, but the mayor actually came from a digital marketing agency. I believe he was the founder of one. So he knew the value of an engaged citizenry. You know, I know we've talked about engagement layers before, and we've been working on some stuff here in the Valley. So yes, for sure, the focus on not just tech, not just communication, but an integrated strategy, and having the mayor behind was a huge piece there.
Yeah.
Then we had Mitchell. Tell you, pretty cool. So diverse in what he brought, both with the book and then also just his City of Boston experience. I think you even had a personal tie to one of their initiatives, if I remember right.
Well, yeah, the office that they stood up, we again modeled a lot of what we did here with IDP around that office, the urban mechanic. I mean, my mom.
You lit up like a nerd. You were like, wait a second, no way, I didn't realize that.
My mom listened to that episode and she loved it. That just this, you could just picture this idea of this mayor driving around with a notepad, writing down things that needs to be fixed. I just love it. And I've recommended Mitchell's book to so many of my public sector friends now, because I think that mindset is exactly what we need, or that you need to be successful if you're trying to drive smart city efforts internally within a government. Like that, the way he captures it in the book is just absolutely incredible. So I've been constantly promoting his book. So hopefully if his book sales are going up.
Way to go, Dom. You got him a New York Times bestseller. I believe like when you can crowdsource, like the We the Possibility, when you can crowdsource and bring out the ideas. And a lot of our guests, they're doing that. They're finding ways to either get the ideas from the vendor community, you know, we've heard that as a theme, or they're reaching out to the citizens, kind of like what Michael Guerin did with Smart Docklands, of getting the ideas to surface. You just want that connection. You want people to bubble up what's happening. You can't promise you'll do it all, but if you get it moving, I think it's really valuable. Okay, so any other topics before we move into kind of the next set of guests?
No, let's jump into the next one.
Great. So so then kind of through mid-May to mid-June, we had Deborah Lamb. She was both at Georgia Tech and then doing some digital inclusion work, and formerly the City of Pittsburgh way back when. Then we had our first sponsor, David Stevens and Worldwide Technologies. Then we had the LA Metro Group, the Office of Extraordinary Innovation, Joshua Schenck and Nolan Bergman. And then finally, Ron Gonin, CEO of Closed Loop Partners. And he was formerly with the City of New York and doing a lot of their waste programs. So where should we start there? Such a crew.
Yeah, that's a it's a tough one. You know, some things that just stick out in my mind, especially just right off the bat, Deborah Lamb, especially because it's just so, I mean, focus on kind of where I'm at right now in my professional career. It's that I'm trying to understand, how do I take innovation and scale it, right? So she started really hyper local, kind of with the university, with some of the cities, and then now she's all of a sudden working on this statewide program, and how she's building in the programmatic structures in order to be successful around those challenges, right? And so I think if anyone's looking to understand, how do I go from a pilot to maybe a scaled program, listen to that episode or reach out.
Yeah, for sure. And the way by which they're looking at the entire ecosystem of that program was really fascinating to me. And not only did they pick something that had an ecosystem, but it was just so interesting to hear they're focused on the food production. And so, like, here they are, they're pulling in all the farmers, and they're pulling in all the entrepreneurs, and they're pulling in the distribution cycles, and they're pulling in the consumers, and they're creating this ecosystem of innovation around food production and delivery. I just thought, wow, that's so cool. And I remember talking to her way back early in the year when we were kind of letting her know the podcast, and that wasn't even, I don't know, maybe she was keeping a closed vest, but like, we were talking about the digital inclusion piece and some of the integrated stuff with the economic development stuff. And it sounded very similar to some of the things we were doing. And yeah, here they are, they're pushing the envelope again. I think we even said that, like, we just keep, we kind of keep pushing like this and keep giving inspiration for others.
Competition, right? No, I love it. I think it's a great point. Like, we can continuously learn from each other. We can steal like thieves. You know, sometimes stealing ideas is the best way to go. And I think what's great, and that's maybe a perfect segue into the David Stevens episode, is understanding how to leverage that network of partners. We understand that these challenges aren't siloed challenges, right? You really need to take a holistic kind of systems level approach to these challenges, because it just crosses so many boundaries. And so, when we were able to talk to David and understand the breadth of resource and experience that WWT has in how,
but they say they do $20 billion a year in revenue or something like that. Crazy. Yeah, who'd have known?
All the engineers they have, the lab that they have in St. Louis. Like, again, how do you understand how to leverage partners like WWT in order to help you solve your challenges? Because there's probably resources within WWT that cities aren't even aware of. But it's right, bringing those people to the table, bringing private industry to the table, not being afraid to have them sitting there understanding, trying to solve these challenges with you. Because if you can leverage WWT's skills and capabilities, it's just going to bring you a whole new team to the table to help you solve these challenges, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. And I still remember, was it Digital Moments? Was he the one that coined that? I thought that was great. You know, it's like, how do you slow this work down to really understand where you interact with your citizen, your resident, your stakeholder, your customer in that digital way? And that's what digital transformation is about. I thought that was a great perspective. As he was talking to the breath, he brought it down to individual moments. And I think that is what this is about. So,
yeah.
Kind of ecosystem, we'll stay on the ecosystem theme. We'll skip LA Metro just for a second to go to closed loop partners. And I thought Ron Gonin's way of looking at these as ecosystem was there too. I mean, some of the stuff they're doing with like production of clothes to impact waste and to build in that it actually lasts and it's not designed to be thrown away. And some of the things they're doing with cities, both with water and trash. Like I know with City of Phoenix, and he did it well in City of New York, like they're literally building programs that are for the long haul to not only just, some will just say, well, it's just a green initiative, it's a fad, it'll go away, but it's not. There's actually the economic advantage of doing so too. I really found his episode inspiring, and how can you build these closed loop ecosystems that actually benefit the taxpayer in reduction money, the citizens, they actually are making better choices. I don't know. I thought that was a pretty wild episode.
Yeah, it was great. I loved his personality too. And in going back to my kind of governance nerd mindset, if we're trying to provide advice for how to be successful as a smart city manager within your organization, this idea of being able to speak multiple languages or being able to translate, right? I think he made the comment of, he would have to go talk to the Bloomberg or the executives in City Hall, but then also have to go down and work with the people on the truck that are actually picking up the garbage, right?
Yeah.
Understand what they were talking about and their challenges and frustrations. So being able to, you know, understand how to pitch what you're trying to do to multiple audiences, right?
And you can and package it into something that's going to get approved because it's understandable and it makes sense, right? Yeah. You don't want the quote unquote party that doesn't believe that there's a you know, waste problem to poo-poo it. So you make it in economic sense. And then you want those that care for green energy to see that it's not just a cost save that's going to do some intended thing. Like, he really understood the players and he made it where it was a bipartisan thing a lot of times too.
Not feeling successful, right? That's what you have to do to be successful. Tell that story. So I think it's great.
Yeah. So then the last one of that group was Joshua and Nolan in LA Metro. What sticks out in kind of what they were trying to do with the Office of Extraordinary Innovation?
Again, I think it's just the governance side of it. Just the fact that they have that office tells you so much. And the
ability
that they do through that office and how they empower that office to tackle some of the most challenging mobility issues of our time. I mean, you're talking about mobility issues in LA. I mean, come on. It doesn't get probably any harder than that. But the fact that they almost took a step back and said, okay, how are we going to enable innovation within a mobility department, a transit department, which is normally not, you know, the most innovative of departments. And so they said, why don't we create this Office of Extraordinary Innovation and just let them run.
Yeah, and change the needle. Like, they really put some ambitious, lofty goals out there. And, you know, they had a few interesting successes already, which is really cool to see. Yeah. So, you know, we'll have to have them back on. They needed some time. I mean, we all know LA is known for its traffic and not in a positive way. So,
well, I mean, they've got the Olympics coming too. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to definitely catch up with them on a podcast, you know, after that.
Or before for sure.
That. Support for this episode of the Urban Complex comes from MST.
MST is a Salesforce certified integrator. We work on building customer experience solutions and deploy them for our customers. As we started evolving, our why also continued to evolve as a company. Over the last 3 years, the whole approach was really revolving around what we call 3 C's, which is customers, colleagues, and community.
All right, so the last group of guests was our friend Jen Sanders, North Texas Innovation Alliance, Dallas Innovation Alliance. Then another transportation group with Laura Bryan from the City of New Orleans. Then Artie Tandon, the CEO of the Smart Cities Expo Atlanta. And then finally, you know, another one of our partners, Chris Camacho, and CEO of Greater Phoenix Economic Council. So where should we start there?
Oh, man. Why don't we start with Jen? Because I think it will kind of lead us through this kind of, at least in my mind, empowerment, right? What is Jen trying to do by taking the Dallas Innovation Alliance and now scale it to the North Texas Innovation Alliance, right? She's trying to empower all communities to help solve shared challenges through collaboration, right? It's this idea of, hey, let's not just enable Dallas to be successful and run of smart city programs and solve challenges and help create a higher quality of life. Let's ensure that all of the cities around us are empowered to do this. And the only way we can do it is if we build collaboration models that lifts us all up, right? And so I say that because it's a lot of what we've done here. And I think we'll end with as we get to Chris, understanding this idea of it's not a zero-sum game. We really need to figure out ways where we can empower each other. And it's usually through collaboration. And I think you saw that the idea of this empowerment is so powerful that we decided to work on a joint regional project together, right?
Yeah, that big time.
That makes sense to us. Why just have you do it in a silo over in North Texas? Why not combine it with the Connective in North, the Greater Phoenix and the Southern Arizona Smart Region as well? Because we can all benefit when we work together. We can all be empowered. So I just think it's that idea of empowerment for me.
Yeah, I also found that the way she framed a message was brilliant, right? She's a former communications person. And I liked how she said it was the intersection point between, I think, community, data, and technology. And we've heard time and time again, it's not just about the tech, right? We've had people that know the tech, yep. but it's about telling the story and that collaboration. So I think that's great.
And then, so I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, this empowerment, we go to Laura, right? Yep. And what did the mayor do when they came into, they elevated that office, right? Totally. Because they knew how important mobility and transportation was to the city. The mayor elevated that office in order to empower it to go out and drive ambitious transformational projects, right? And so now she's in that position to do that. So it was
amazing. Yeah, and like LA Metro, they made that bold statement. We are going to reduce trips, automobile trips, by 50%. And there, you know, they have a smaller group to start with, right? It's a smaller population. So they can move the needle faster in some regard. But I also thought they were looking at different rider types, and they knew that some of the inclusion issues around ridership were areas to start. And I thought it was one of the first that really had a great plan to look at the fringe side of their ridership. And they were also partnering, back to collaboration, really interestingly with the, I forget the name of the acronym, but it was the bigger association of transportation, the state one. And I just think that they were really uniquely leveraging assets there. To your point, they made it bigger. They made it more profile. They had lofty ambitions, and they were leveraging the resources well.
Yeah, it was great. And then so continue again on the empowerment theme. I mean, Artie, talk about an incredible individual, period. But the way she has now used her experiences to empower other initiatives and other programs, right? How now she's bringing in music and athletic stars in order to empower certain projects and programs, again, and elevate it so that way it can be successful, like really leveraging the power of her network to bring new focus, new eyes to new initiatives to really help drive change and impact. And I think it's,
I think we were both blown away. I mean, with the contacts she's had and the ecosystem she's brought, and like, you know, and it's a global view too, but that quote, it was something to the effect, I think it says cities are not smart if they're homeless, hungry, and the poor are not included. So it's like she really is looking at that inclusion piece and bringing in some amazing recognizable folks with tangible action. And so it'll be interesting to see when we're immersed in that world in Atlanta to see what's real and what still has a long way to go. So I'm excited to get more involved with Artie and Smart Cities Expo Atlanta. And that leads us back to Chris and the CEO of Great Peaks Economic Council. It's the first one dedicated on economic development. I know with in Q1 at the end, we had Raimundo, who was an economic developer leader for Coral Gables. But I just felt that Chris like told it like it was, like teamwork and make it happen. What stuck out for you?
Again, I'm just going to finish on this empowerment theme for that last month. But it's the way that Chris understood that if he empowered the Smart Region initiative that was just getting started, he could actually benefit an entire economic development ecosystem in Greater Phoenix, right? By empowering one program that he saw could really be transformational, it would help empower an entire economic development platform for the region. And so understanding as a leader, there was an opportunity for him to step in, provide his leadership to elevate that program and really make sure it got going and was successful. I thought that was a really, really good story of understanding, you know, an initiative as it's starting and understanding the broader impact if it worked. So just
again, big time. I think he said something to the effect of put your market in a position to meet the changing needs. Oh, and I loved his story about how the semiconductor industry that was already big here, they didn't rest on their laurels. I mean, they went big, right? And then they got TSMC and went semi to come out here. That woke up the sleeping giant of Intel, and they went all in as well. Plus, he talked about basically the birth of the connective. I thought that was really interesting to hear that story, which is our smart enabler that allows for the collaboration here. So, yeah, it was just a great mix of Q2 guests. So, yeah. Any last thoughts as we hear it all come
to fruition? I'm starting to feel a little pressure, man. How do we continue to just go up and up from here? The guests, the content, the stories have been just so incredible. I'm really looking forward to seeing where this is going to go, because I think you did kind of drop a hint that we will have more international guests, which I think are going to bring a whole new aspect into the conversation. And I'm just really excited to now hopefully get some more in-person, or no, for the first time, get some in-person interviews happening. Yeah. So you really see the stories.
Well, and again, for those listening, we love your suggestions. You hear the guests oftentimes recommend who we should have on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you or cracks in the pavement ideas. So please don't be shy. And to Dom's point, if you want to get out to Smart City Expo in Atlanta, please do so. If you can't make it, we're going to try to do some shorter cycle stuff as well that we'll post throughout the time we're out there on our social pages. So make sure you're following us on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter. Yeah. And hopefully you'll be able to see that stuff as it breaks.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. We really are looking for our audience to help us with other ideas for other content. Like if you think live video, like quick live videos of Chris riding a scooter is going to be interesting, then let's do it, submit it, right? No, but really, you know, if there's other things we can do content-wise, please
let us. I'm embarrassed to say I've never ridden one, if you can believe that. Can you believe that? Never done it.
We'll definitely get you on camera riding it for the first time. Maybe after the Suns win the finals, we'll have you during the parade.
Let's just hope it's not like Bush falling off one of those Segways, you know?
Yeah. Well, this has been great, Chris. Cheers to another quarter down, and looking forward to the quarter.
And 3 months, we'll be on again. All right. See you, Dom. Bye, everyone.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Urban Complex, Smarter Cities for a Stronger Tomorrow. Please find us on where you listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. We do love your feedback. Let us know if you have ideas for guests or questions to air on Cracks in the Pavement via social media. The Urban Complex is found on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Or just shoot me an email, chris@theurbancomplex.com. Till next time.